Music Radio Free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams is here with you today from 2 to 4 Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Central Time. And today, I believe, is still May 4th, if I'm not mistaken. I think it says 5 now on this clock in the computer. I think that's because I had it set by a 12-hour interval, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, it should be the 4th, right? The 4th of May. All right. Well, anyway, here we are. We're gathered together again today, and we're two or more of us are gathered. There he is in our presence. The Lord, you know, I'm going to have a pretty revolving program today. I'm going to go from one thing to another, but I'm going to spend a lot of time in this first hour talking about the history of militarism and fake patriotism. I want to do that because I was going over, and I meant to do this a long time ago. I was going over some old Dan Smoot reports and the case of a certain general who was sacked primarily because he was an Americanist. He believed in teaching the troops to be Americans and not global policemen. And not one-worlders, and I thought that was very important. We get to that, because now we're at the end of the road, America. We're at the end of this cliff, and we're ready to descend, head first. And it's about 20,000 feet down. So we need to go over some history in order to know why it happened, when it happened, and most of all, who made it happen for us. Ultimately, God is in control of everything, folks. He is in control of the bad and the good. He uses the bad to accomplish the good. And so I'm grateful for that. In the book of Matthew, I have just finished the Gospel of Matthew. Now I'm going on to John, and first chapter. And let me tell you, book of Matthew is very long chapters. One chapter, about 76 verses. But you know what? I felt the need to do it and to continue until I finished that chapter. And I find all of the chapters, of course, to be fascinating, all divided up by chapter and verse, all of them to be a blessing. I'd like to just mention in chapter 27 of Matthew, in the King James version of the Bible, that in the first verse, this is the man, Christ Jesus, who walked face of the earth from the heart of God and doing only good. No evil was found in him. That was the testimony, the conclusion of Pilate, who washed his hands of the murder of Christ. He didn't want anything to do with it. He couldn't find any fault in him, and he had no axe to grind as some others did and still do. So the man Christ did all these wonderful things. He healed the sick, raised the dead. He took those who were blind and gave them sight, the deaf to hear, and he just did it all. And whatever the ailment was, he could do it, including possession with spirits, satanic spirits. He could do all of that. And even the apostles marveled. Even they could not fully understand what he was saying. They were not God. They were walking with God in his flesh form. The Word was made flesh, but they couldn't even understand why he'd even waste time with some of the people who came to him. the woman who grabbed his garment and said, if I could just touch the garment of him and have faith that he would heal me, that's all I ask. And he turned to her and he said, woman, you know, thy faith had made thee whole. Even the Roman, even the Gentile could come to Jesus and see his servant healed. You know, Jesus never refused a healing unless the person who wanted it did not believe. If they didn't have faith, he couldn't heal them. He wouldn't heal them. But if they had faith, he did. Now, in chapter 27, verse 1, we're told, when the morning was come, all the chief priests, that's all of them, and the elders, you might say of Zion, but, you know, the elders of the people, took counsel against Jesus. Isn't that amazing? To put him to what? To put him to death. Why? Somebody's good and somebody's evil here. You want to guess who's who? Because they are evil. In their hearts, they know only evil. But pose as good. Even today, we are victims. We are the unfortunate victims of circumstances, of hate. We are the innocent ones. We've never done anything wrong as a group or as a people. Trust us. It's always somebody else. It's always the other guy. It's always the other country. It's always another people. Well, that's exactly what these elders, what these chief priests were saying. And in verse 2, and when they had bound him, bound Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate. Now, this is after the beating he took, you know, the chief priests and the rulers thereof, banging him on the head, spitting at him, and so on and so forth, deriding him, mocking him. Then they bound him up after that and brought him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented of himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, typically, what is that to us? See thou to that. 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And then we're told he went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into our treasury pot, because it is the price of blood, and we would never do that, now would we? And then they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this very day, my friends. That would be the fulfillment that which was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued at, whom they of the children of true Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord's appointed me. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Quote, unquote. Jesus said unto him, thou sayest I am. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said unto him, hearest thou? Do you not know these many things that are witnessed against thee? And he answered him not even a word, insomuch as the governor marveled greatly. So Pilate said, I don't find any fault in this man worthy of death or anything else, not even a prison term. Why do they hate him? Well, he said, for envy they delivered Jesus up. Why? Now, the reason is very simple, because they are of their father, the devil, and Satan wanted to kill Jesus right from the beginning. Right from the beginning of the previous earth age, he wanted to prevent the Christ child from being born so that he could save his people from their sins and all those who would come to him in true faith and believe on him. See, Satan never gives up. He never gives up. And he's not giving up now either. He still thinks he can play out this dream, this world conquest and his children, and make it happen. Why? Because God has given them up to a reprobate mind. He knows their hearts. He wants them to fulfill what he has already foretold. This is amazing when you think about it. All this was written. All these people who today consider Jerusalem to be their capital because they are a holy race, they are a chosen vessel, are losing everything they thought they would gain. There's no peace. There's no tranquility. There's no love. There's squabbling, there's arguing, there's killing, there's butchering on all sides. Turmoil. Is that God's city? No, it isn't God's city, but it is the city now ruled by Satan and his children. And that's why it has to happen, my friends. You can't kick against the pricks. You cannot fight against it. Because to do so is to try to argue against God's plan, which is perfect. Because in the end, that city will be leveled, and that end is coming soon. There will be nothing left, not even a stone unturned upon another. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth and no wall to wail on. There will be a time of sorrow and tears, and many who have aligned themselves with them and him, Satan, find that they will be looking for mountains to hide on. They were misled. And Isaiah, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that deceived all of the nations of the world, and we were following him, the false Jesus, as the real one? It's amazing, isn't it, how we're being deceived today, yet some of us can see the light and see the truth. And the truth is a blessing. It is a marvelous thing to be able to know the truth, that all of the evil you and I and our listeners continue to rebel against, continue to be aghast at, know that there is a day of judgment. There is a day for the good and for the bad. And the bad will be taken care of. We need not fear that. You know, and the scriptures and the Psalms and make it very plain. Fret not thyself when the wicked prosper, for they shall be cut down like the grass when that day comes. And let me tell you, that day is coming upon us. Everything is falling into place perfectly now. Mr. Trump is where he is because he was put there. Mr. Pence is where he is because he was put there. And those who are waiting in the wings, if you will, if we had time, are as bad, if not worse, than those we see in Congress today. They're willing to sell not only their own personal souls, friends, right, but the soul of America, which they did in 1948. They're willing to sell out their country, their nation, to them. Mess of pottage. Does that sound familiar? Who did that before? Mess of pottage. Was that somebody known as Esau? No wonder God said, Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. They're willing to sell it all down the river for political expediency, for political gain, for electioneering, so they can get what they think, power. And all of a sudden, one of them keels over on the floor of the Senate, and they pronounce him dead of a heart attack. Boop, he's gone. What did he accomplish? What did he do for God? What did he do for Satan? Doesn't matter for him at that point, does it? No. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, it is all transitional, and we're going through that transition period right now. Well, now, I want to tell you today, this is something, as I said in opening, I wanted to talk about for a long, long time. And I happen to have a number of volumes, and some of these are up online now where you can read them online. The old Dan Smoot reports going back to the 1960s. And this particular one from April 20th. I'm looking at the date. Okay, this was from the 1963 era, 1963 to 1964. And this one was entitled The Strange Case of General Edwin Walker. Edwin Walker. Who was this man? Well, I'll tell you. In the fall of 1959, Major General Edwin A. Walker was ordered to Western Germany as a commander of the 24th Infantry Division. Immediately upon his arrival there, he took steps to set up a program that would condition the men under his command in that division as American fighting men to educate them in the political fundamentals which form the bedrock of their own society, to acquaint them with the atheistic and barbarous philosophy of communism, socialism, and to keep them constantly reminded, I said reminded, that they are creatures of God, dependent upon and answerable to him, and under him, responsible for themselves and for their treatment of all others. Well, on April 19th, 1961, the Overseas Weekly editorially contemplated that General Walker's Troop Information Program, as it was called, was a John Birch Society project, and alleged that the general, well, was somehow nefariously promoting this propaganda in a speech to a PTA group that had been called. Mrs. Ella, and this is what he did. This is what General Edwin Walker did. He called, can you imagine this, Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, Edward R. Murrow, and two or three similar persons, quote, pinkos. Now, where would he ever get that idea? Well, on April 14th, General Walker denied the newspaper's charges. On April 18th, President Kennedy, ignoring the general's denial and accepting the Overseas Weekly's charges at face value, fired General Walker from his command. This was Kennedy, under the influence, of course, of the CFR. He canceled an Overseas Weekly's charges, and he canceled, excuse me, the scheduled program that he had set up. His promotion was canceled as well. In other words, he was out. And he was assigned to a minor role in the U.S. Army after that, headquartered in Heidelberg, Germany, pending investigation of the charges against him on May 3rd, just about the same time that we're in today, of 1961. I will tell you what happened to this great general on that day. Stay tuned, folks. This gets very interesting. Rick Adams, Uncensored, here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And we're back, folks. Rick Adams here today with you, continuing this saga about General Edwin Walker. On May 31st of 61, the Army disbanded General Walker's Troop Information Program 12 days before announcing that the investigation of the general had been completed. How do you like that? On June 12th of 1961, Secretary of the Army announced that Major General Edwin A. Walker had been admonished for taking what was called injudicious actions and for making derogatory statements publicly acknowledged about such prominent Americans as the aforementioned. Well, the outburst of public indignation about their statement of General Walker and all of the reaction to it was very negative in his favor. Negative against the establishment, was positive in favor of him. And so then it came to the point where it was determined by the efforts of Senator Strom Thurmond at that time from South Carolina to get a congressional investigation going, which would bring all of the facts out, hopefully, in the light of this the series of events that caused the Kennedy administration to do what it would do to General Walker. Now, mind you, Kennedy's administration, like Johnson's, like Eisenhower before it, was staffed with and advised by the same culprits that control Mr. Trump today. No difference, only it's worse now than ever before. So it's a coterie. You know, it's an assembly of people who are the establishment of the invisible government. That's what it comes down to. So then we had this congressional hearing on September 6, 1961. Robert S. McNamara, Secretary of Defense, testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Under questioning by Senator Thurman and others, Secretary McNamara conceded that General Walker is a patriotic, highly motivated man who has a brilliant combat record and sincerity of purpose in fighting a communism. Only if McNamara did, though, huh? Well, anyway, McNamara said also that he considered the Overseas Weekly, which had been initiating these charges against General Walker, to be a repulsive and disgraceful publication, but that he proposed to denounce it, and that he did, and he wanted to stop once and for all, to do nothing more than stop the circulation of it, apparently. In any event, well, you can imagine the tailspin of opposition that came from all of this. McNamara said he was so concerned about the repulsive nature of the Overseas Weekly articles that General Walker was speaking about and penning. And so they tried to do something about him. They tried to do something under the Hatch Act. And the terror of McNamara's testimony was that the Kennedy administration action, far from being, apparently from being not over, that it would continue to a criminal conduct charge. This is what they wanted for Walker. And the crime was his advice to troops, listen to this, that they study. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening? Study the voting records of United States representatives and senators before voting in their congressional delegation elections. And that was to be in 1960. That's what he was telling them to do. That was a crime, you know. And he suggested that the troops stick to their voting records and then stick it to their congressmen if those congressmen had not been obedient to and subservient to the Constitution instead of other interests. So that was considered to be a crime, according to McNamara. He said that anyone who supports this liberal cozying up to communism should be taken out of Congress. That was in 1960. Can you believe that? You know where we are now. AOC and company, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the likes of that branch and the Schumer scum and the Nancy Pelosi's and so forth. Well, evidently the Times Herald, in a lead editorial, said, this whole charge by the Secretary of Defense that involved Major General Edwin A. Walker revealed of his overseas command he should be relieved of his overseas command, and that he should not be allowed to continue in the services, basically being relegated to pasture. This is what the editorial. We got a break. I'm right back. It's building up, my friends. We're going to hear from the general in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we're back, folks, and I'm just continuing to wend my way down quickly to a synopsis of this report and this issue of this General Edwin A. Walker in the 1959-60-61 era. Mind you, McNamara and a whole company of others, the liberal elite at the time, the Chucky Schumers and all of that crowd of, you know, Marxists and socialists and leftists and communists and internationalists, they were all out to hang Walker. Because General Walker was a military guy, but that was a guy in an era, in a time, when he took his job seriously. And he felt that communism was, and it was, the number one enemy of us and of freedom. It always had been in the 20th century. Now he started digging and digging and talking and talking and preparing films about it for the servicemen. And that could not be permitted. So what happened? Walker was relieved of his overseas command for engaging in partisan politics as the conclusion of an already badly muddled and bungled affair. The Hatch Act. Just how did he violate the Hatch Act? Well, he didn't. He was speaking in nonpartisan terms. He wasn't speaking Democrat or Republican. For both parties are corrupt, and both of them were infested, infiltrated, and totally countermanded by the socialists and the elite. So McNamara would care less. Kennedy wanted to get rid of the matter as fast as he could. So he was relieved of his command, and Senator McNamara then said that the generals tried to influence the 1960 congressional elections in violation of that act called the Hatch Act, which was, in fact, in itself, a false rendering and reading of that act. I'm going to play for you in just a couple of minutes here some of what the general was saying at the time that we're talking about, that 1959-60 era in the elections, talking to America, talking about what was really going on in the world vis-a-vis the communists. It was very blunt, very explicit, very factual. I bring all this up because I was a member of the John Birch Society, and that the John Birch Society did not set up this particular program, which had been claimed. But nevertheless, you know, I was led into the John Birch Society, and they did many good things. The chapters that were formed around the country were made up primarily of people who were just like most of you are today, you know, mindful, intelligent people, not afraid to think out of the box, as most people who listen to conventional talk radio are, but thinking people, really sincere, honest, bright people. And so along came this kid. I'll never forget it. It was like the 1970s, obviously. I had just been fairly new to the Birch Society myself. And this young kid, apparently, was in high school, and he was from a part of Rhode Island, contacted the John Birch Society in Belmont, Massachusetts, and then they gave us his name and number. I still remember his name today. It was Peliquin. His last name was Peliquin. And French. He was in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and he wanted to join the John Birch Society as a young man. Now, very seldom would we ever get anybody in that age category who would ever want to join the Birch Society or any other conservative group. They had been brainwashed then heavily, and now it's much worse, of course, in high school by their left-wing socialist, Marxist, social studies teachers, and so forth. So we thought this was a wonderful thing. Well, he did. He contacted us. He came to a meeting, and he was very, very enamored of everything. He really had an esprit de corps that you probably don't even see today. And then his father got involved in the act. His father was in the military. Now, this is what they've done to the U.S. military from World War II on. His father said that if he attended another Birch meeting or he ever had anything to do with it, he'd have to leave the house and be thrown out. That's what he would do, throw him out. He didn't want anything to do with the John Birch Society because, as I recall in his words, it was a subversive organization. Now, folks, this is how twisted and perverted things get. His father was typical of many in the military who, you know, go back to the McCarthy era and say, oh, conspiracy theories, and it's far-fetched, and it's just a bunch of hogwash, and these are the enemies of the people, not the communists. We do more harm to ourselves if we listen to them. You know, brainwashed, thoroughly stupid brainwashed people in the military, right? So his father told him that, that you get out or you're on your own. And he was just 17, 18 at the time, right? So in any event, he had to set up a box, a post office box, where he could get mail. He couldn't get mail at the house anymore. And then eventually came to a few more meetings, but then he drifted away, and I don't know what happened. We lost contact from him at that point on. I don't remember all the details, but I do recall this incident quite well. And I counted that as another example of just how successful these buzzards have been in destroying military morally from within, which is what General Walker obviously was trying to countermand. He was doing the exact opposite, building up morals, building up anti-communist fervor, doing what he's supposed to do. McNamara would have no part of it, nor would the others in the defense establishment. From Truman on, remember, U.S. Defense Department did not exist in World War II. It was called the War Department. And that's what it's all about, waging war overseas, aggressive. No rules involve war. It was basically a whole kill the enemy and everybody in your path. That's what World War II was all about, and that's what we did. So this had to change. Under Truman, the Defense Reauthorization Act created the whole Defense Department where you could no longer win wars, but now we should have these brushfire wars, give and take, you know, nip and tuck, back and forth, tit for tat, that type of thing, meaning we're not supposed to win against communism. We're supposed to play a game at the expense of the lives of these young people, and that's exactly what they did. So I understand now much more than I did then, but I surely understand the reason behind it and who was responsible for trying and successfully doing so, that is, trying to destroy us from within the military, within the educational arena, within the churches most of all, and all of the others in between, the economy, the political parties. But can you imagine these politicians screaming and yelling about the Hatch Act then, which was not indeed intended to prosecute somebody who was in the military, who was educating people about basic American philosophy? That's how pathetic they were. So right now, I'm going to give you just a sample, and I know some of the audio is not perfect, but a sample of what General Walker was trying to accomplish when he was making these films and these presentations at this particular juncture. Let's see if we can play some of that now.
To the communist, a man is no better than a dog. This is communist indoctrination. The theory of Pavlov is at the very root of the communist method of handling prisoners. It is being used on all people who have fallen into communist hands. It is a way of controlling people. It helps force a man or a nation to behave as communism dictates. It is based on pain and discomfort, the withholding of food and the necessities of life. It establishes habits that make obedience instinctive. Obedience to the communist political bosses. A science perverted by the communists. It is a subtle, terrible thing. These experiments have proved to the communists that the torture of prisoners of war is not always necessary. Physical and mental duress can be more effective. Medical techniques used to cure insanity have been reversed to unbalance normal minds. It makes the third degree old-fashioned. Such are the techniques the communists use on prisoners of war. One prisoner who went through it said, "I would have given my soul to have known what to expect." Now, what can we learn from all this? With avoid capture, keep alert. Many men fell into communist hands simply because they got lost on the battlefield. Know the terrain on which you are fighting. Know the native peoples. Many of these men were captured when they answered a false password or challenge. Do not fall for communist tricks. They make inviting broadcasts about their treatment of prisoners of war. In advance of a major attack, they may release prisoners who have received good treatment, but only to deceive you. There are many communist tricks. And if in spite of all you can do, you are taken prisoner, you must continue the fight. It's a fight all the way. You must endure the hardships, the privations, and maintain a will to resist. Pavlov's techniques used on prisoners of war vary from sheer starvation and torture to subtle persuasion. Individuals are singled out. The communists seek out weak spots. They work upon a man's love for his family or his friends. The communist mind attack, or brainwashing, will use a bit of comfort or decent treatment only for a purpose. They are trying to persuade you that they are your friends. And as you get friendly, the first thing you know, you are a communist. Remember those who are marched barefooted through the snow. Remember that dog and the experiments of Pavlov. Over and over again, you hear the virtues of communism until you almost believe them. Although you know what they tell you is crazy, when you hear it often enough, you may find yourself repeating lies about your country and your allies. You are forced to write your life history and self-criticism. For minor infractions of prison rules, you are forced to write confessionals. You must ask for forgiveness. You must do this again and again. And soon confession becomes a habit. This is when you reach the stage of Pavlov's dog, when communist prescribed behavior becomes a habit. At Wonsan Prison in North Korea, Pavlov's strongest techniques were used on Americans. Brain warfare, brainwashing, brain changing. It doesn't matter what you call it. These communist film scenes graphically portray what the attack on the mind means to the prisoner. One American who returned said, "They beat you down almost to death, and then they revive you. They do this again and again, until you feel grateful to them for saving your life. 10 days without water, 12 days without food, 2 weeks without sleep. You memorize red literature. You write confessions about your politics, 500 pages, and revise it again and again." Although many are confined in groups, some spend over a year in solitary confinement. There is the constant threat of death. There are constant lectures to convert you to communism. The communists will scan United States newspapers and save clippings which may cause anxiety over your loved ones. They delight in breaking your spirit. Red publications are circulated in communist prisoner of war camps to spread rumors and propaganda. Forms may be falsified. Note these scenes from North Korean films. When your treatment is relatively good, this is very dangerous. Beware of good treatment and plenty of food. Remember, you are just an animal in Pavlov's maze. There is a purpose behind everything the communists do. Communist reveille heralds a new day in a prisoner of war camp. Escape from communist prisoner of war camps is possible if you have the will to escape. But the main effort of communism is to break your will. You can't fool them either. If you pretend conversion to communism, you will be asked to prove it by betraying your friends. Your confessions will be used against you. You will be called a war criminal and told you will never go home again. Your family in America may be threatened. You may be taken away to solitary confinement for endless days and nights of questioning. Your communist captors have a step-by-step procedure. First, they soften you up by fear, lack of sleep, lack of food. They bring you to the point where a crust of bread or a few hours' sleep are worth anything. They bring you to the point where mental fog or delirium will change your convictions and even your memories. This is the remaking of a human mind. It is zero cold. Your guard keeps you constantly awake. You are near death of starvation and thirst. Above all, you are alone. One American prisoner of war spent 33 days in a hole like this. The communist technique is first to gain information. Second, to force your participation in communist propaganda with the purpose of harming your country. Third, they try to convert you to communism. These are American prisoners of war who refuse repatriation. They fail to resist. They fell prey to communist deception. It is a vicious attack upon your brain. A little red indoctrination is like being infected by a cancer. Most find the strength to resist. Others break under the strain. Some who serve a communist purpose will never return. Your fight is not over when you are captured by the communists. Don't get captured. But if you are, your only weapons are mental preparedness and physical stamina to carry on the fight against this insidious attack on you and your country.
Folks, that was not his voice, that's the narrator, that he was using those instructional films that had been prepared by the U.S. government itself and by others to instruct the troops, to instruct servicemen, to instruct those who were being trained to be fighting against what they thought was against communism across the seas. Well, we now know, of course, the greater hand in all of this was the hand of the synagogue of Satan, which, of course, had America actually install communism in the 1917 era, and the gangsters from Wall Street who made it all happen. And they made it happen again and again with Mao Zedong coming to power. So, in any event, from his vantage point, the general was absolutely doing what he said he was supposed to be doing, using these films, using these broadcasts to educate people. We'll come right back with more and take some calls as well. Rick Adams on Censored.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we're back, folks. I do have another clip with the general's voice himself doing his own broadcast that I'll share in a few minutes. And I just wanted to continue into the second hour because all of this is so relevant to today, isn't it? With all of the political jabberwocky and all of this presidential campaign rhetoric and whatever nonsense the media are spoon-feeding us today about Watergate, about Russiagate, everything but Israelgate. You notice that everything evolves around these issues that have been structured for us, that have been prepared for us to, as a people, to digest. And all of the idiots who call talk radio elsewhere in the secular world, they'll call and they'll menstruate and they'll just, oh, they'll exude their patience and they'll spend their energies arguing with each other about, no, it's the Democrat, no, it's the Republican, no, it's this one, no, it's that one. As long as they don't talk about who is that 800-ton gorilla in the living room, they're okay. They can argue. They can go back and forth, and they can banter. Just don't talk about the real enemy. And that's what happened with communism. And the general did his job. He knew what he was doing. We saw these other generals being promoted, generals being actually given positions of respect because of their service to the enemy, going back to World War II. And even prior to that, and General George Marshall becoming Secretary of State under Truman. You know, you look at these people, and remember the Army dentist Irving Peres, who McCarthy went after because he was actually given a promotion when he should not have been. He was a security issue. He was actually a communist inside the Army. Well, these are the things that you never hear about. You'll never be taught in any classroom, history classroom whatsoever, because these are the real historical events. These are the real issues, and these are the real people. So again, one man said it well when he said that history is bunk, and so is current events largely. All right, I'm going to take a call. We have a break coming up, but I'm going to take a call in just a moment after the break from Joe in Rhode Island. Not here, ladies and gentlemen. I will take off and defer to a special program that we will have on having to do with the Passover Lamb, Christ Jesus, and what he represented and what he died for, who he died for. And to understand who the enemy in the camp really is, no longer at the gates, but inside the camp, as they have been, yes, for quite some time. I think it's time now, as we see the signs in this season of this generation of the bad fig tree coming to fruition, that we have a little program, just one two-hour program, as we have not done in such a long time, with some experts in this area who have a lot to teach and a lot to share. And they'll be sharing, by the way, the Passover. So you want to get your Strong's concordances, your exhaustive concordance, if you can, out and get them ready for next week, and a little bit of wine or grape juice and some bread. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Hour number two coming up. We'll continue with more and others as well, and we'll take some calls at 800-313-9443. This is Rick Adams on Sense.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.